Well, the Pope is nowhere near Ireland this morning. Where is he? He's on his way to Cameroon in the air at this hour.
He's the greatest human being on earth. So I feel very privileged as a Cameroonian that he has honored our country to come here.
Pope Benedict makes his first trip to Africa, and here to set this trip and also the continent's Catholicism in some context, we are very pleased to have David Willey, BBC, longtime BBC Rome correspondent, with us. David, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Nice to talk to you.
Now, even though this is Pope Benedict's first trip to Africa, which by many accounts is the fastest growing Catholic population on the planet, Pope John Paul went to Africa at least 10 times, and you accompanied him many, if not all, of those times. What's it like when the pontiff steps on African soil and meets a very traditional group of African faithful, but yet also culturally very, very distinct from what we're used to seeing in the Vatican?
Well, I would say the arrival, I remember the arrival at countless airports in Africa. It was always a big deal. There was a lot of color, a lot of dust, a lot of dancing, a lot of music. And the Pope, John Paul, the late Pope, seemed really to enjoy this. Sometimes people used to present him with funny hats, which he put on. He tapped his foot to the music of the drums, to the beat of the drums. He really enjoyed himself. One had the impression he liked the cultural differences between Europe and Africa. And this was one of the things he enjoyed most during his travels.
Now, it seemed that John Paul particularly embraced a sense of growth of Catholicism in Africa, but also a sense of traditional Catholicism. These were conservative Catholics growing at such a rapid rate. How does Pope Benedict view the traditionalism in Africa and also the sense that there are many social problems that need to be addressed by the Church?
Well, let's take the social problems first. I think that, as he said to people gathered in St. Peter's Square here in Rome last Sunday, that he's going to get first-hand information from his bishops in Africa about the poverty, about the violence, about the conflicts which pit one society against another in Africa, often with disastrous consequences, and also about the spread of disease. The Catholic Church, of course, has a big role in Africa, has had for many generations because of its missionary work. And the Pope will also be meeting members of his own missionary orders who do such good work both in education and in health. I think the Pope is very aware that the future of the Roman Catholic Church doesn't lie in old Europe. It lies in the New World and in particularly in the Southern Hemisphere. I think it's been calculated that two-thirds of the world's Catholics today live in the Southern Hemisphere, and this will be three-quarters by mid-century. So it's a vital look at the future, this trip to Africa.
David, when you look at the future, what do you see in terms of the priesthood? Because one thing that has happened in the U.S. is that there seem to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, not as many American-born priests, but a lot of priests, international priests, coming in to serve parishes in the U.S. Is Africa exporting priests who are running parishes in other parts of the world?
Yes, they are. For example, in the small village just outside Rome, where I have a house, we now have a priest from Congo. A black priest who is completely welcomed by the Italian parishioners. They regard it now as, I think it was a bit of a shock for them in the first place, but they now accept him completely. The position regarding vocations in Africa is that the Roman Catholic Church is very happy about the large number of vocations, priestly vocations in Africa. One of the biggest seminaries in the world, for example, is in Nigeria. I think the Pope will be encouraging Catholics in Africa to consider becoming priests. But the problem is that it's a question of ratio. In the United States, the ratio of priests to lay Catholics is 1 to every 1,300. In Africa, it's almost 1 to 5,000. So
wow.
They're spread around much more thinly than they are in the United States.
David, I'm wondering if the fact that the Catholic growth in Africa seems to be driving so many of the missions of the church in terms of focus on the Southern Hemisphere and some of the other things that you laid out, if it does the job of erasing some of the unsavory history of the missionary role in Africa during the colonial period and really transforms the identity of the church.
I think the church wants to show that it's looking to the future and not to the past. I think the Pope will be very interested, for example, during his visit to Angola, this huge and potentially very rich country bordering Nigeria, to see how the situation there is progressing after 27 years of civil war, which devastated the country. To what extent is the wealth of Africa being applied towards the people of Africa? I think this will be one of his concerns. The political leaders he'll be meeting don't really come up to scratch by
right.
our Western standards in terms of the fight against corruption. And one of the initiatives that the church tries to push in Africa is to fight corruption, not with great success, I must say. Both the heads of state he'll be seeing seem to be taking large amounts of oil revenue and putting it into their own pockets.
Well, certainly
than,
an enormous
the benefit of the people.
An enormous amount of hope as the Pope lands in Cameroon later on this morning. David Willey, BBC Rome correspondent, thanks so much for helping us to understand the importance of Africa in the Catholic Church.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.